Dan Willis, one of the Disclosure Project's 20 top secret witnesses that testified at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., and he explains the history of how a secret government operating illegally within our national security system maintains control of the media secrecy for more than 50 years. An ex-ABC newsman, Dan, has taken a keen interest in how the media has withheld disclosure of the full message. He's our guest tonight. Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for letting me be on the show.
Likewise, and thanks for coming on to share this information. 2001 now seems such a long, long time ago with this disclosure project. Tell me, how did you get involved in this?
It's like ancient history now, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Well, you know, I've asked, you know, because I had my military experience with taking, you know, a secret message from a ship reporting extraterrestrial coming out of the ocean. It all keyed my interest, so I, you know, looked over the years on the subject and heard a lot of people speaking and talking. I actually got kind of tired of listening to the whole UFO thing, and back in 2000, a friend wanted to go to a UFO conference, and I was really hesitant, reluctant. It was just the same old stuff, nothing new.
Yeah.
And I heard what Dr. Greer was going to do, and I was really inspired by his courage to do something and go to Washington with these witnesses. And there was an opening there, and I volunteered.
And there you were. Now, some of the testimony that the 20 top secret witnesses talked when you were there, what did it do? Did it shock you, some of the things that you heard? I knew you were aware of a lot of this, but not all of it at the time.
Well, I studied a lot of the witness testimonies before going to Washington, and it basically took it out of the conspiracy theory into the conspiracy fact, you know, for myself after so many witnesses, hundreds of them with, you know, collaborating information and documents and testimonies that, you know, it all connected the dots for me. So, you know, my testimony was, you know, insignificant compared to the other witnesses who were speaking of, you know, nuclear missiles being shut down with, you know, official Office of Special Investigations documentation, the base, alien bases on the other side of the moon. That alone should be, you know, first headline news.
Oh, absolutely. And these were heavy hitters, Dan. These were important people who have committed themselves to their jobs with the government. These people weren't just walking in off the streets.
No, they're in charge of nuclear tipped missiles, you know, so they're, you know, captains in the Air Force and, you know, people in different branches of the military and in the intelligence community, you know, the CIA and NSA. You know, and, you know, retrieval cases, you know, where they're actually categorized 57 different species, you know, all this was, you know, disclosed. And I thought I was going to be part of a, you know, a world-changing event, you know. And I, you know, the night before going to Washington, I was like tossing and turning. I couldn't imagine what was going to happen. You know, I went there. You know, what would happen if all this information is actually disclosed in the mainstream media and everybody became aware that the subject is really real? And, you know, I had this dream that, you know, they had some operative come up, and after everybody gave their testimony, they discredited everyone and said, oh, well, this is a top secret project here, and this is there, and this is all for national security. And everybody had their mouth dropped. They knew it was a lie. And, you know, when I went to Washington afterward, they didn't need to have any operative to discredit the whole thing. The mainstream media, you know, just essentially said that, you know, we wanted to say that we're not alone and we want to have a congressional hearing on the reality of UFOs. And you know how much taxpayer dollars we want to, you know, be put into that. So none of the, you know, pressing issues, such as things that were disclosed, was that our legal government is being denied access with proof from two presidential administrations, and that there's no illegal oversight to these unacknowledged black rogue projects taking in, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars, and that we have witnesses involved in targeting and shooting down the ET craft and retrieving them, and that, the ET civilizations have not shown hostility and have, you know, just essentially shut down our nuclear weapons.
See, and I would guess that Stephen Greer and probably yourself too, Dan, very disappointed in the media exposure to what should have been at the time one heck of a public event.
I thought it was going to be I couldn't even believe I was part of this world-changing event. It was like, if it actually got out there, the information, you can imagine what a whole change to the whole paradigm on the planet would be.
Tell me about your testimony. Tell me about your role.
Mine was insignificant, I think, compared to some of the other testimonies. But essentially, I was a high-speed code operator. I had a high-level top-secret clearance, worked at the Naval Communication Station in San Francisco. And in 1969, I was on ship-to-shore communications, and a secret priority message came in from a ship off the coast of Alaska, a USNS ship going to Chief of Naval Operations that was reporting. Basically, the crew witnessed a brightly glowing reddish-orange elliptical object about 70 feet in diameter merging off port bow off the ship. And then shooting off into space, and the radar operator on the ship tracked it going over 7,000 miles per hour.
Jeez.
Mine's just a small fragment of testimonies when we have, probably well over 500 witnesses, at least over 450, that have collaborating, witness testimonies that paints a picture of this operation that's been going on, since back in the, 40s and 50s.
What were you doing with the message when it came in? Or you saw it, or did you have to pass it on?
Well, I took the message in code and had to type it out. It was primitive stuff back there, in 1969.
Sure. Oh, geez, almost 40 years ago.
It's one of the first thought that came. I was typing this, translating the code, and as I was typing it, I took thousands of, top secret messages and processed them. And this one just burned an image in the back of my memory. And my first thought was, take it to a Xerox machine, make a copy of this one, I'd be in prison, for that. But I had to turn it over to the communications watch officer, and then, went on the route to the Chief of Naval Operations.
So you had this message, you passed it on. Those messages that come through, they're not hoaxes. They're the real deal, aren't they?
Well, yeah, this is official military communication.
Yeah. No, I mean, nobody fools around with that thing. Nobody would have been pulling your
leg. Not unless they have the authentication codes.
Yeah, okay. So these sailors saw something. It took off at 7,000 miles an hour, and it was gone. Was there any follow-up, or would you find out about that once you sent the message on?
Well, I looked in the San Francisco Chronicle the next day. I just thought maybe there might be. I looked all through the newspapers, try to see, wow, this is, kind of unusual. After the disclosure event, I contacted the Office of Naval Investigations and ONI, and tried under Freedom Information Act to get that particular message because I had enough information, but they came back with a letter saying it's been destroyed. So unfortunately, unlike the other witnesses that had, full documentation, collaborating, their testimony, I just have my word.
You used to be an ABC newsman. Tell me about your reaction to the kind of exposure or coverage that was at the press club event that day.
Well, George, if you put on a hat of a newspaper, or television reporter, and you were assigned to go in and, do a full story on this, mm-hmm. this whole event, you wouldn't come out with just saying that we are not alone and that they're only talking about, the reality of UFOs, when, in fact, the majority of the information was basically disclosing, secret operations that are illegal.
Right.
That you know, have been withholding technologies that could get the world off of the energy crisis, you know, back many years ago. And you know, it's interesting, you know, when you watch, you know, the CNN and CBS clips, you can notice exactly where the editing room cuts it, like Dr. Greer was saying. And these objects have been tracked on radar going thousands of miles per hour, stopping, making right-hand turns, and then cut.
Right
after he says, and we've studied these technologies, and we already have the energy, you know, and so forth and so on. You know, after I was on CNN, CBS had a special team come down and interview me. And I said, look, I'm not going to do this interview unless I can say we have the scientists willing to come forth in an open congressional hearing that can prove we have technologies that can end the energy environmental crisis, you know, quote unquote. They promised up and down, interviewed me for about 45 minutes, did a exact same template that CNN did, and the show hosts, you know, the higher executives made me cut out that part.
Left you on the editing floor, as we used to say. Jeez.
Well, the editing floor, I think, is influenced a lot by, you know, if you go to the disclosureproject.org site, there's a CIA document on there back in 91 that states that the CIA has, you know, relationships with every single major mainstream media that they can kill or spin a story, you know, in the interest of national security. And our legal counsel, Daniel Sheehan, has a document of 42 CIA NSA operatives whose main purpose is to oversee, you know, national security interests in the media.
Do you think that that card had to even be pulled that day at the National Press Club, or maybe they realized not a lot of major media showed up, no big deal?
Well, there was, 22 cameras in the back row. They were cheering in the back at the end of the whole thing. There was quite a commotion. You know, it's hard to say what's going on behind. All you can do is see what they come out with.
No, wait. You're saying that there were 22 media cameras there in the back recording, videotaping, and only a few of them actually aired the event? They went back to their news agency and decided, well, we're not going to run this story after all? Do you think that's what happened?
I know CNN covered it.
Right. It didn't get a lot of air coverage. I mean, the most recent disclosure project that they had several months ago got more coverage than happened to 2001. I thought the 2001 event should have been international news. I mean, those 20 people were heavy hitters, and Stephen Greer did a phenomenal job putting it together. It was an ominous year, of course, but I still believe that they should have gotten the kind of exposure they wanted, and it kind of like faded away, didn't it?
Well, you know, it went viral on the web. You know, I've seen my testimony in, you know, 7 different languages all over the web, you know.
Yeah, you're on YouTube, you know. Your testimony's there. But the major media really didn't go after this, and you had these government witnesses talking about what they saw, what they heard, and it just kind of fell on deaf ears. Very disappointing.
Well, you know, you have to wonder about the element of the question of, is there media control, you know? And, you know, it's nothing shocking or new that, you know, there's, you know, corporate corruption in the world and that, you know, people who have vested interests in multi-trillion-dollar industries will, you know, want to, you know, basically put a stake into anything that could keep from, you know, destroying the entire empire.
Well, I know that, you know, I have never been, nor have my producers been called by any governmental agency saying, look, you're doing something on UFOs tonight. Please don't run it. That's never happened to me in my career. Now, does it happen on a network television level? I don't know. All I know is I could speak for what I'm doing here on a network radio level, And that's never happened to me yet. You know, right. we could march all 20 of these top secret military witnesses on, and, you know, nobody's going to clip them or shut them down. Though I will say, Dan, we've had some strange things happen to guests that have been on the program where their phone lines get clipped all of a sudden and they have disappeared, and kinds of strange things like that have happened. But back to the Disclosure Project, if we can. You met with senators and congresspeople after the event. What was your reaction?
Well, I just wanted to comment real quick that, you know, I don't know either, George, you know, but all I know is what is said and then what is reported, you know, and it has to raise the question, especially when there's so much indication, you know, based on the witness testimony that there is these operations that have basically utilized the national security system to their interest. But in regards to the senators and congresspeople that we met, you know, they were very polite and cordial, and we sat down. I remember one meeting I was sitting with Dr. Kalawazam and Captain Salas, who was in charge of, you know, 8 nuclear tip ICBMs that got shut down. And, you know, I said to them, you know, we just went on major media, and if all of us are, you know, doing some type of hoax or something, you know, we should all be thrown in jail and punished, you know. I thought, you know, all we're looking in, they're saying is to look into the subject.
Sure.
And we gave them, you know, a 500-page briefing document and 4 hours of witness testimonies, of which they probably never, you know, cracked, you know, with a busy schedule. And you know, it's a difficult one, you know, because, you know, people on Capitol Hill, it's a hard subject to, because they're not exactly put into the loop on all this. Our military and our government representatives, when trying to look into these unacknowledged special access projects, they basically hit a blank wall because they are unacknowledged to exist.
Well, and they somewhat get ridiculed even now. They're not taken seriously. You know, Kucinich says that he saw something. He gets roughed up a little bit in the debates. Bill Richardson talks a little bit about it. Nothing really happens. I think it's unfortunate that a lot of people just don't take the subject seriously. The witnesses sure did, but I don't think the politicians do. I mean, even Steve Bassett, when he tried to run as a congressman from Maryland, tried to use this as a platform, and, you know, he couldn't get anywhere with it. Maybe it's better to get elected, and then you pull out all the stops to try to get the answers. Maybe that's what they should do.
Well, without any influence from national security agents coming in, you know, just maintaining the status quo with the little green men, you know, giggle factor going on that's so acceptable, you know, for the media to do, rather than, you know, saying this is serious, you know, which, you know, could threaten their job or whatever, what have you. You know, like I say, after the disclosure, you know, press conference, I toured with Dr. Greer, since it wasn't getting out on the mainstream media. We figured, well, we go city to city. So I toured with him in Colorado, San Diego, L.A., San Francisco, you know, all down the coast of Portland and so forth.
All right, Dan, we're going to be back with you more. I want to talk a little bit more about this disclosure project. You set up a fax line. I want you to tell us a little bit about that. Then we'll talk about whether you think the ET threat could be a false flag event. We'll be back. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We're with Dan Willis. He's one of those Disclosure Project witnesses who talked back in 2001 at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. Dan, was there a wow factor even for you when you heard the testimony of some of these other witnesses that day?
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, you know, have a public announcement with 22 cameras saying there's an alien base on the other side of the moon, categorized 57 different species of aliens, you know. I mean, wow.
You developed and you started pushing a online fax program. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that stemmed out of, you know, touring with Dr. Greer during the Western United States. We in the major cities, we have, you know, thousands of people in halls that we'd rent, and, And, you know, we'd get standing ovations, and we'd ask the people, you know, to write a letter, you know, to the senator of Congress. But, you know, how many people sit down and write letters, right? You know, so I decided to work with a programmer and put together, you know, for the president and the representatives, and even got a database of all the embassies around the world for people in different countries that has a template letter that, you know, they pretty much on Capitol Hill ignore stuff that's the same thing over and over again.
That's
you know,
a good point.
So, you know, people need to personalize it. They need to educate themselves a little bit, find out that this is real, you know, by, you know, studying some of the testimonies, and then write a, you know, remember the movie V, you know, where, you know, if everyone who's listening would like to have an event like that only through the internet, make their voices heard to the representative in Washington, I encourage every listener out there, you know, to send a free online fax at disclosureproject.org. And it's very important that you don't just use the template and you put it in your own words. And, you know, send it to your representative. Imagine if only a fraction of the, well, what do you have, like 15 million listeners did that. What a stir that would cause in Washington.
Oh, they think there's a new election underfoot, wouldn't they? It's been 7 years since the 2001 event. How do you think things have changed, if they have changed, in terms of perception of the UFO issue now?
You know, there's more stuff coming out. You know, you can see what's happening on Larry King, you know, with, you know, like John Callahan was on there and some of our other witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, essentially, though, I don't see anybody in mainstream media talking about what was said at the press club, which is that, you know, back in the, I guess back in 1954 or so, you know, when Eisenhower warned of the misplaced powers of the industrial military complex, that these projects went deep black and unacknowledged, and they basically used our national security system basically to seize the interests of the corporations that were involved. And, you know, I remember Colonel Corso's testimony speaking of the corporations that were reverse engineering some of the technology and disseminating it into the you know, civilian sector. This is something that is just a taboo subject that I just don't see it on the media.
The fact that governments are starting to release most of their UFO cases, we think. But like Britain, France, Brazil, we haven't done that yet here. Why is that, in your opinion? Why hasn't this government simply said, all right, here they all are. Some were classified, but here they are. Why don't they let us see that? Because it's gone undercover, hasn't it?
Well, the United States is essentially the main controlling interest on the subject. If you you know, if you look at what the media is saying, it's saying that, you know, we are not alone. Well, it's interesting that secret government insider Dr. Wernher von Braun was saying that they had plans way ahead of time to create these what they call, you know, false flag events.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah. So one was to weaponize space by having a false flag attack from outer space, and that you know, we would need a multi-trillion-dollar weapon system, which would, you know, feed the industrial military complex, you know, quite well, to perpetuate its you know, paradigm the way we've been going, instead of you know, going out in space in a peaceful way. They're thinking of, you know, putting all these weapons in space.
And how they can make money doing it.
Yeah, you know, you have to look at, you know, you have to keep having an enemy. You have to keep creating new weapons. You know, it's a cycle that keeps on going. And if you don't have an enemy, you don't have new weapons, you know, you're out of business. So, you know, and if they release the fact that they have the technology to get off of oil and, you know, ionizing radiation back, you know, 50 years ago, you know, that, there goes the multi-trillion dollar oil industry. So we know the effects of that today. So, you know, you have all these elements that, you know, they just can't come out and say, okay, we've been lying to you for 50 years. You know, we've actually had the technology, and yes, we made contact and this and that. You know, there has to be a there has to be some type of amnesty program to get these people. They're in this perpetual loop of a lie has to cover with another lie, has to cover with another lie. You know, if you look at, you know, hundreds of witness testimonies, and they all, you know, basically paint pictures up. This is what's going on, but it's not being covered in mainstream media. You know, basically the public needs to, you know, have an awareness of what's going on in order to change this, because the representatives aren't going to do anything, and the military can't do anything. It has to be, you know, coming from the public.
These large triangular-shaped objects that people are seeing all around the country, and they've been seeing it since at least the Phoenix Lights and probably beyond that, as a matter of fact, what do you think this object is? Do you think it's ours, or do you think it's E.T.?
I have no idea, but, you know, I know that probably maybe half of them are, you know, secret government projects, because we have inside witnesses that have testified that we have, you know, faster than light craft, and that anybody in their right mind would see this and they say, oh my God, this is from outer space. It has to be extraterrestrial, but it's not. There's a lot of top secret, beyond top secret projects that have technologies that, you know, to the average person would look like, you know, it's coming from outer space.
The person who mentioned Wernher von Braun's discussion about the threat of the false flag was Dr. Carol Rosen, who was his aide, and she worked with him very closely over the years. Do you think they can put that together and they could create this kind of false threat? And how would they do it, Dan, if they did? I mean, if,
well,
I assume they'd have to have the objects in order to do it, right?
Well, you know, if you take what Ben Rich, of head of, you know, Lockheed Skunk Works, said, that anything you can imagine they've already done, you know, and, you know, considering all the science fiction movies everybody watch, you know, we could probably imagine quite a bit, you know. And we have the witnesses that have seen these hovering saucers that are made in USA. You know, it wouldn't be too hard to pull off at all.
So we'd wake up one morning, much like the movie Independence Day. Gosh, it's coming up, too. Maybe next Friday they'll do this to us. But we'll see over major cities, assuming it's a false flag, we'll see these ships. Here's the big question, though. What if it's real? I mean, is that possible?
Well, why would they wait until we have, you know, weaponry or an advanced technology now to attack us, you know? I mean, we wouldn't be having this conversation, I think, is the most rational, you know, approach to that. Are they hostile or not? You know, it's a...
I agree with you. I think they're going to come up with a false threat in order to keep generating the kind of fear that they need in order to keep spending money in defense-related issues and companies. And I think they probably have said there aren't too many more countries left we can create wars with, maybe Iran, so we're going to have to come up with something a little bit bigger, and that's probably it. I would not be surprised if something like that happened.
I wouldn't be surprised either, George. You know, you have to think about what's seated in the subconscious minds of everybody who's seen the movie Independence Day, the movie Signs, War of the Worlds, you know, on and on, all these evil aliens coming to Earth, you know, to destroy us and take over our planet, you know. So it wouldn't be too hard of an imagination to sell that idea.
What do you think the public would do if they create a false flag? Let's assume we don't know it, though. And the public wakes up that day and they see this and they panic. Do you think they're going to bow down, Dan, and simply say, please help us, governments, do what you need to do? You think that would happen? Or are they more sophisticated now? Would they say, you folks are pulling the wool over our eyes?
Well, you know, it's a pretty savvy group on, I would say the group that listens to Coast to Coast.
Yeah, they know.
they're clued in, you know, but I would say the majority of the masses out there that watch, you know, CNN, the news you can trust, and, you know, all the other mainstream medias, they will get the perception as carefully, you know, put together under PSYOPs tanks, you know, to gain a public perception that, would fit the agenda.
How do you personally feel about the fact that there could be these black ops programs going on and they're just deceiving us? They're not telling us the truth.
Well,
does it infuriate you?
Well, you know, it's kind of sad, you know, when you think about how different the world would have been here in 2008 if they disclosed 50 years the truth of contact and the technologies discovered. It can make you sad, and, you know, it can make you mad, you know, and in any case, we need the truth based on, you know, hundreds of these witness testimonies to come out in order to change the course we're on. The world needs to understand that what has occurred behind the scenes and realize that they cannot come out and say, we've been lying to you, you know, that we've been, you know, 50 years profiting on oil when we had the solution to energy and crisis all along, you know. There needs to be, they need help. They need an amnesty program to, you know, they're afraid everybody's going to, as Sarah McLennan was quoted on Jose Escamilla's movie, you know, the UFOmovie.com, mm-hmm. that, you know, George Bush Sr. said to her a comment, if they found out what we've been doing, Sarah, they'd chase us down the road and lynch us, you know. So I'm sure there's a lot of fear, you know, for them, you know, besides not only the profit factor, but, you know, all of the atrocities that have happened over all these years that didn't have to happen if we took a different course.
These 20 witnesses, including you at the Disclosure Project, what were the ramifications over the years for all of you? Any threats, any harm come to anybody that you know?
Well, there's been a lot of people that have, you know, been, you know, killed, and that there's been people who've been threatened a lot. But not one of the witnesses, you know, have been threatened since we did the press club.
Maybe that's a good thing. I wonder why.
You know, what we've already disclosed, you know, and they've got the media, you know, to work with. So, you know, it's not like we're intimidating them at this point.
You of course, know Stephen Greer's been a regular guest on the program, but what's the latest with him these days? Do you keep in touch with him?
I haven't been keeping in touch with him. He's been working a lot with, you know, the OrionProject.org. And, you know, I was involved afterward as a technical consultant because of my background, you know, checking out some of these energy inventors and things. And, you know, some are very real and some are delusional. And he's basically going at that course of trying to bring this technology out since, you know, it's challenging, you know, to try to get it out of the black ops, which is light years beyond what these inventors are doing in a garage. But there are a lot of people doing things.
He seems to be very well devoted, then, to trying to find alternative energy sources.
Thank God.
Yeah, he wants it. You know, and like you were saying, some of these people, you know, are flakes. Some of them are real. I mean, there was a point Stephen felt he was going to get that alternative energy. He was going to get it, that he was close. He was talking about machinery that had been built. Whatever happened to that, Dan, do you know?
Well, I'm still working with that crazy inventor. I know that he can create something. He created a device that had about 1 watt going in, was producing close to 500 watts coming out, and now he's been working with running cars on water, which is a very feasible technology that's starting to come out, which would solve a lot of the world's problems if we could run our vehicles on water instead of gasoline.
Well, he's getting close, huh?
I haven't been in touch with him lately, but I'm sure he's working diligently on it.
Well, let's hope he pulls it off. He's a good man, and he's a hard worker, and he's devoted his entire life to this, hasn't he?
He has. He's very inspiring what that man has done.
And how about yourself? What's new with you? What are you doing now these days?
Oh, I just live on a remote mountaintop, off-grid, and I working with some inventors, and I do some things on the web to bring in some money, and that's about it. And once in a while, I do a radio show.
That's right. When we call you and say, "Let's talk about this," Would you participate in another disclosure project?
Oh, if I was invited, absolutely. The world needs to know and needs to have these lies exposed and needs to know the truth. And anyone out there who, goes to disclosureproject.org and reads all the witness testimonies and has, as Stephen often quotes, an IQ over mud, puts it all together, connect the dots, can see this is actually real. And again, I encourage everyone to use the free online facts, and I monitor all the facts, by the way. I get to read them, maybe if we create a stir enough in Washington, people will say, "Why are we getting these faxes? I guess we can't use, when we send out about 30,000 of these," and these are all pre-9/11, I would have people send me the responses from the president and the representatives, and I'd read them all, and I start to develop a pattern. And it became aware that they were indoctrinated in a particular way, and they all were basically saying, if Congress ever has hearings on extraterrestrials, we'll keep your views in mind. That was the majority of them. But a lot of them had, like, canned official denial letters that there's any validity to this. From NASA. And so it kind of appeared that there was like a set way of responding to this issue in Washington.
Well, I just hope that we get to the point where we get truthful, honest information out on this, Dan. We need about 1,000 more people like you to keep pounding away at this. And as far as these other government witnesses, do you know if they were disappointed in the fact that whatever they said just kind of fell apart, that, it just really wasn't picked up?
I haven't been in touch with the other witnesses, but I know that I would hope anyway that they were hoping on much more than what the mainstream media exposed of the event.
Absolutely. Okay, that's Dan Willis, one of the witnesses in the Disclosure Project. And up next, Steve Bassett from the Paradigm Research Group. He put on the X conference. We'll hear what he has to say and take your phone calls as well on Coast to Coast AM. Stephen Bassett is a leading advocate for ending the 60-plus year government-imposed truth embargo regarding the extraterrestrial presence in the human race. He is a political activist, a lobbyist. Stephen is the founder of the Paradigm Research Group, executive director of the Extraterrestrial Phenomena Political Action Committee, and he also is the executive producer of the X Conference. Here he is. Stephen, how are you?
George, great to be with you.
We are assembling a group of experts, including you, Stephen, to talk about the disclosure, and sometimes it just feels like it's getting close. What do you think?
Oh, it's very close. A couple years ago, I set the paradigm clock. I forget exactly what year. 2005 to 15 seconds of midnight, where it stays. And really can't get any closer than that. And what that means is that I believed at that point, based upon what I knew, that it could happen in any day. Right? It could happen tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still in that mode, though I can make a case why a certain window would be better than another. But overall, if you look at the whole picture, oh, man, the signs are all over the place.
What's your thoughts on governments like Britain, France, Brazil, releasing their UFO reports I don't know if they're the good ones, but they have released them.
Doesn't really matter. They're not. This is no accident. It's not like, oh, gee, they got up one day and thought, let's put all the UFO reports out there, put them on websites so that millions of them, and I mean there have been millions of downloads, would be taken out and just raise the interest in the subject substantially. No, they did not. There is a reason for this. And I believe it's one of a dozen or so indicators that something is in the works. And what I call these are called indicators, or more importantly, I call it positioning. And you're seeing it all the time. You're seeing it with people like Podesta and Richardson. You're seeing it in the media. You're seeing it with these countries like Brazil, like France, like UK, Mexico, positioning, right? Getting certain things sort of out of the way so that when, if things break, they're kind of looking at least reasonable. You're seeing it with the Vatican and the Funes statement, which is no trivial matter.
Good
coming
point.
From a fully active and young head of the Vatican astronomy, right? A substantially different modality than, say, what Corrado Baducci was doing as a retired former Vatican official. Great guy. He was out there, you know, many years ago. And suddenly Funes comes out with this. This is the Vatican positioning itself. Not only preparing people for the issue, but letting people know they have no trouble with it. And then by putting it out through the science side, they're basically saying the Catholic Church is not afraid of science. It's not afraid of extraterrestrials. This kind of stuff's happening. Well, I can't keep up with it, George. I have got stuff pouring into my email box so much that I cannot keep up with it. So I'm having to log stuff and file stuff and deal with what I can. It's never been at this pace.
When I was with you at the X conference near Washington, D.C. a few months ago, and having finally met Edgar Mitchell, who's been on the program over the years, and just to hear him, just to be in a room with an Apollo astronaut, Apollo 14 for Edgar, and to know that he believes that we've been visited, absolutely one of the greatest feelings you can ever have if you're associated in this business, Steve.
Yes, indeed. I hope Edgar is in the room with a lot of people here in the near future, and so they can experience that feeling. I just happened to catch In the Dark Side of the Moon, that wonderful documentary on HBO just last night, and it was all past moonwalking astronauts were part of it, with the notable exception of Neil Armstrong.
Neil, yeah.
And Edgar was talking, you know, about his experience, and they showed a lot of photos. What a great documentary. It's so easy to forget how extraordinary that time was, how amazing these men were, what they did, and which is frustrating, because when a man of his stature then takes the positions that he's taken, every journalist in the country should be going, what?
Absolutely. What? It should be a lead story on major newscasts.
Yeah. But, well, my hope is that Edgar's going to stick around and see this finally go where it has to go. But the emergence of men like Edgar and women, but mostly men, as it happens, is one of the driving forces. I say, you know, Dan Willis is a witness. He's one of the government people that has come forward. There have been several hundred. They're all great people, and I have nothing but respect for the witnesses. It's great that they're not being harassed, that they're able to speak. There will be more. And the fact that there will be more is one of the reasons why when those people say, you know, this cover-up thing, this embargo, it can't happen because the government – no. It's falling apart. And it's not really – and this falling apart process is not really being resisted that much. I really don't see much resistance. I see the momentum of the truth embargo, which sort of carries forward in time in certain sort of approaches that the media has and government and some editorial attitudes and that have you. But this is just the momentum of it. I really don't think it's accelerating or even under its own power anymore. So it's slowing down to a stop, and it will end soon.
I'm starting to see media interested in the UFO field.
They're
picking up things. They picked up information on the X conference. They picked up information on Stan Romanek's picture of a UFO peeking through his window. And they seem to be picking it up more now than they did 7 years ago.
Well, at the ParadigmResearchGroup.org website, in the main PRG site, you've got the media archive, which is now over 2,100 articles. Now, these are just the ones that I was able to get and archive into the site. I either have a direct link to the thing, or I have a printed version, or I have a copy of the page that used to be up on the net. It's a fraction of the total articles that have been done since 1947. I'm guessing the number of articles that have appeared in mainstream publications. This is only a mainstream publication archive, no alternative press. It's easily in the 10,000 to 15,000 range. So the articles have been written, and the press has been covering it since the 40s. Of course, we have a better sense of the degree of coverage since the last 10 years. And in the last couple of years, it's really taken off. We'll probably log in at PRG over 1,000 articles for this year. And you look at those articles, if someone were to go to that archive and just start browsing back in time, and this is international, it's English language all over the world, and they see the publications, right? You know, the London Times, the Telegraph, CNN, BBS, Fox News, Los Angeles Times, New York Times, Wall Street Journal. And when you see it compiled like that, you actually see, wait a minute, there's a hot ton of coverage here,
exactly.
And very few articles are negative. They're straightforward. And so you're thinking, wow, this thing really should be wide open. Ah,
and
not quite.
And they're not as silly as they used to be.
No, they're not. Jeff Peckman now, let's talk about that for a second. This is a wonderful example of kind of where we are.
He's the one in Denver who wants the extraterrestrial, basically, welcoming committee set up.
Yeah. What happened there in Denver could no way have happened 6 years ago or 10 years ago. No way. It was amazing to follow. Think about this. You've got a 53-year-old fellow who's staying with his parents, taking care of them. They're very elderly. He's an activist, peace activist, so he's kind of interested in issues. He's had a ballot issue before. He just says, decides to have a ballot issue in Denver. This is a wonderful idea, and I'm hoping people start picking up this all around the country, because ballot initiatives are fantastic, much easier than getting on a congressional election ballot, let me tell you. I mean, done that. You know, you got your city. You can have city ballot initiatives. You have state ballot initiatives, right? And so you come up with something like he did, Extraterrestrial Affairs Commission. You get enough signatures, it's on the ballot. And it's not really a partisan thing like Democrat versus Republican. And if you get enough votes, you got it, right? And it can attract a great deal of attention. Doesn't cost a lot of money. I mean, you have to spend a ton of money to do this. So he comes up with the idea, puts it out there, and this time, as opposed to previous ventures, he gets a lot of coverage, a lot of coverage. The Rocky Mountain News has done 13 articles on him, all right? So he gets his coverage, and it gets some national attention, and that's cool. It's going along. And that I thought was quite notable. He doesn't know that much about the issue. He'd only been introduced to it the year before, right? He got really fired up because of some Stan Romanek presentations, and he said, hey, well, this is great. And then he does something absolutely brilliant. Whether it was intentional or not, it was brilliant. Basically, he, knowing Stan, decides, okay, I'm going to hold a press conference where we'll discuss the initiative, but I'm going to mention that we're going to show a video of a real alien.
Yep.
Stan Romanek's video. Well, he had gotten a lot of attention, nice, simple, basic attention from the press, including a little Fox News, a little this, a little TV, for the initiative. So he had their attention. The hook was in. So when he announces the alien video, kaboom, right, the media pour at him. In a space of, I would say, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, Jeff Peckman got more press, and I've actually got it on my site. You go to the ParadigmResearchGroup.org site, and I've got the articles logged in. I've got the video log, the clips, and all that stuff. He got more press in that than I had gotten in the last 7 years.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so he basically, what he did is he hooked the most controversial issue, certainly the most controversial exopolitical issue in this area, which is, of course, the contact the abductee issue. He hooked that to a basic grassroots Denver thing, right? Got the media involved, brought the two together, and he ends up with David Letterman. All right? Where he does a great job. I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm a mixture of admiration and raw envy and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But believe me, that could not have happened 10 years ago. No way. So now what if we get 20 or 30 more Peckmans out there, and there's plenty of activists in this country, particularly from the peace movement, environmental movement, and they start entering little ballot initiatives, and before you know it, they're getting on the ballot, and the next thing you know, they're turning up on Fox News. You see where this is going.
Let's take some calls with you, Stephen. Let's go to you, Eric, in California. You're on with Stephen Bassett. Hi.
Hi, Eric.
Eric? No Eric.
gone.
Well, we'll find another. They already got to him. East of the Rockies. Hey, Jacqueline, go ahead.
Hello. I'd like to tell you that back about 25 years ago, I had a cousin's husband who was in the Air Force, went on the Air Force base with his father-in-law, my uncle, with a 9mm camera. And I've seen the video of the flying saucers with the little glass windows and so forth. And when he seen his father-in-law taking the picture, he says, this is a restricted area. Put it up. Well, my uncle died, and his son came and took it, and he has since died. And his wife has it in Maryland. But yeah. I thought.
Are you going to get that to us, Jacqueline?
I doubt if I can, because she won't even talk to her sister. I thought I wanted to tell you. I broke down 20 years ago on a stretch of road in Pennsylvania that wasn't complete yet. I worked as a dancer, and I was one of the original go-go's. And I broke down. I had a flat tire on my 55 Chevy. No spare, broke as could be, as usual. And sitting there wondering what I'm going to do. I see two lights coming at me. And at first, I thought they were street lights, on this new road, with this being complete. There's no cars going, there's nothing. What am I going to do? And next thing I know, it's morning and my fire is fixed and I got the hell out of there.
Well, I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. There's not a question there for you, Stephen, but bottom line is something I've always wanted to ask you. These reports of these large triangular shaped objects, ours or theirs?
By the way, she may not have a question, but she's got a screenplay.
Yeah, she does. I'm
going to get that down. I go to the screenplay software programs and write that up. It sounds good. She's got a nice way of putting it. There's sort of a consensus I sense amongst the researchers that they're both. We got some of ours, some of theirs on the black triangles. But there's no way of knowing. I think that the gentleman by Fouché has talked about this a little bit and has got some information, and I think you could check him out, regarding possible R black triangles. My position is this, that it wouldn't surprise me if there's some of theirs and some of ours, all right? And secondly, if any of them are ours, the tech involved in there did not come or they're not totally come from human sources, meaning it exists. They're able to do that because of ET source. And beyond that, I can't go, which raises a great question. The early craft in Phoenix in 1997 that flew the entire length of the state, was it theirs or was it ours? Exopolitically, there's a huge difference, right, in terms of trying to understand what was going on there. Political implications of it being theirs is not the same as if it was ours, because if it was ours, think about it. What in the hell was the government trying to do? So it's important, but without more information, George, we just call it a black triangle and wait to see what happens.
Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. A quick comment about the UFO topic tonight, and then like to hear his comment.
Sure thing.
Okay. What's confusing me? I'm approaching it from a little bit different perspective. I hear three times a week on this show all the ideas about trying to prove the existence of UFOs and which is fine. But what I'd like to know is the value of it to human life, if it does exist at all anyway. And there's very little talk of that subject. I'd like to explore that a little bit.
What do you think, Steve?
Well, you got 10 hours. but want to extend the show in the next year?
Nobody talks about it.
It's not it's not an exciting area to get into. You see it more at conferences. I do talk about it in my presentation.
Yes,
I'll be presenting three times in Roswell. I'll be getting into it there.
Four six hours, by the way.
I'm sorry?
For 6 hours at your conferences.
But I will be in Roswell. I'm looking forward to it. Fantastic event. It's going to be there this year. But on the radio and the TV, no, you get it much. There's other stuff a little bit more grabbing. There are two. Look, when I'm asked this question, the short answer, there's two fundamental things. All right. One, the blocking of this information by the government was an extremely discordant act, which was justified early, but it was not just justified now. And the maintenance of this truth embargo is exacting extreme cost from our society. It's creating all kinds of problems. It's part of an even larger complex I call the secret empire. There are great social political costs that we can't even estimate yet from a blockage of this type. I mean, this is a big deal. It's one thing when the government doesn't tell you about some plane they're building out in Nevada. It's another thing when they tell you, night is day, black is white, and up is down. You just can't do that and have society not have consequences. And the second reason is that we are facing a monumental social, political, and environmental challenges thanks to 6 point some billion people and the toll we're taking on the environment. This is just reality. We have to have every tool in the arsenal we can, every club in the bag, or we're in deep caca in a very short amount of time. And I contend, and many others are coming forward on this, I'm not the first certainly, that there's ET technology in these labs and in these bases. They've had it for some time. They've been developing it, and it ain't available to us for one reason, and that is they can't bring out the heavy stuff without ending the embargo. They're not ready to end the embargo. And so every day that goes by that technology is not available is one more day of a whole lot of people dying of hunger, a whole lot of people dying of thirst, a whole lot of ice caps melting, a whole lot of ozone holes. Shall I go on? You see my point. And so for those two reasons alone, it is extremely helpful. It's going to be extremely helpful to the overall picture if this embargo comes to an end. And it's acknowledged.
And I hope it comes sooner than later.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think we have a whole lot of time, frankly, before really bad things start happening, and we have to start looking at property in Costa Rica and in the Horn of Africa or whatever.
There are some that are doing that. Stay with us. Stephen Bassett's our guest. We'll come back. We'll take final phone calls with him in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Stephen, there are some who believe that these visitations are evil, that there's some intent here to do harm to us eventually. What's your take on that?
PRG's position has always been neutral. I don't think we know enough to say without question that the ETs in the collective or on an individual basis are completely benign.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if you look at the totality of the evidence, it's relatively favorable in terms of what is the case. How would you project it? I mean, for instance, entities that come down here and create crop circles, not exactly the most threatening thing one might do. I believe some of these crop circles are absolutely alien in origin, though I think many of them are human done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not exactly an awful thing. They turn off missiles at silos, as in the Malmstrom Air Force Base case, but they don't blow them up. And then you look at the contactee reports and assess them overall. So I'm optimistic that we're probably going to be okay there, but I don't think we know enough to assume it. And there are plenty of people that rightfully have a concern there. And I think I want to take a fairly neutral central position on this because I think we can't ignore one side of the issue over the other. And I think that's the appropriate way. Now, when it gets to the nitty gritty, if a false flag operation were to occur.
Mm-hmm. And that's possible.
Or maybe this way, if craft were to appear and something bad happened, one of the absolute first things we would have to do is use every resource available to determine, is this the real deal?
Exactly.
And we do have those resources, as you mentioned in your talk with Don, because such an operation, a false flag operation, would be just one of the most heinous acts ever committed by any government ever in time, with incredibly dangerous consequences.
Well, they've done it before, though, Stephen, haven't they?
They have. So, but we're not stupid now. We got enormous individual power with the internet and everything else. So we have to be on guard. We have to be on guard for that, and we have to be not to be blindsided. We're heading into some deep water. And as I've said many times, I think appropriate way to look at this right now, unless you have some very strong personal experience that clearly has you pointed in one direction or the other, is that given the profundity of all this, if disclosure takes place tomorrow, 6 months afterwards, we will have learned some things which are going to make us extremely excited. We're going to be just thrilled and stunned and awed and, wow, this is incredible. And we're going to learn some things that are going to shock us and upset us I think we should expect that. I think that's a pretty good position until we get more information clarifying what's going on.
Back to the phones. Jacob in Jackson, Tennessee. You're on the air with us. Hey, Jacob.
Hey, Jordan. It's an honor to talk to you and your guest, Stephen, as well. I'll try to be very quick with this because I've got a lot. A lot of the stuff, I'm not as smart as him or as you. I'm only 27, and I haven't done a lot of study, and a lot of this I just kind of pulled out of my air on my own little methods.
Yeah, we're just mature. You're probably smarter than both of us.
I'll trade my smarts for your 27.
Yeah. Well, okay, so here we go. Now, earlier you had a guest talking about, what was it, Meteor X or something. Now, five years ago, I have what I can only describe as a prophecy. I don't know if that's a proper word because, like I said, I'm not educated in a lot of these terms. I just know what I know. So, anyway, my thought is and what I believe is that this X, Planet X, if you want to call it that, is what's going to throw our poles out and flip our poles. I think it's a cyclical thing. I also think, George, you asked a question the other night as to why does everybody have this feeling. I think that's it. I think it's kind of the planet telling us, our spirit or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is coming. And I also believe that the coming presence of alien life forms, be it that I also believe that, you know, agree with y'all that there's probably more than we could imagine. Part of them are coming down, if not to harvest or to save what they can, because being that the pulse flip, I think it's going to cause what you find in your biblical things to be, you know, devastating earthquakes and volcanoes and all this stuff that's going to change the face of the planet. I think possibly maybe the aliens species over in time and past history have had something to do with these mysterious disappearances of the Mayan culture and the Egyptians and such and such and so forth. Stonehenge and all these things that we don't understand because we weren't there. Okay, so really I'm just wanting to get your take on that.
Sure.
And like I said, I know there's probably about 10 different questions and stuff in there, but like I said, it's such an honor to actually get through and talk to you. I wish I could spend more time.
Well, hang with us for a little bit and go ahead and chat, and if you have a follow-up with Stephen, jump on in.
Well, this is one of the many what I call awful truth scenarios that people have put forward to try to explain sort of what's going on. I call this one the post-apocalypse cleanup job, where they come in to take care of some business, grab some stuff and whatever, and then it's a question, you know, who turns on out the lights on the way out the door. Let me put it this way. I've looked at a lot of evidence. I've covered a lot of territory, not deep, but broad. And I don't see any indication for this apocalyptic scenario involving something quite dramatic like that. I have no real thinking. I have no views on the Planet X. I have no idea whether there's anything like that's going to come in. I know it's a big solar system. You could drive a lot of planets through here without creating much of a fuss. But the fact is that I'm far more worried about what our government is doing and may do than I am about what a possible planet may do if it passes in. And since the government is something I can deal with, and we can deal with, I want to focus there. And if the planet turns up and all hell breaks loose, well, let's all party. Party, right? And enjoy our last days. But I beyond that, I really can't go. I'm as you know, George, I've said many times, I'm very leery of apocalyptic thinking. And there's some strong reasons for that. Don't need to go into them there. But I always caution people, be very wary of apocalyptic theories.
Well, I don't necessarily go apocalyptic. I don't think it's going to be an end of the world thing. I just think it's going to be a long change. But to tie it into, you know, like I said, all these shows, we just got this show in our area just recently within the last couple of months. So I'm, you know, excited to have the option and the information. But with, you know, like the other night we were talking about these chips and the government wanting to put them in. Now,
yep.
The government, which I do believe they have this technology, and like you said, you can't tell right now if it is actually alien or human. Sorry, my phone may die. They're not going to get me. You know, I hate to think that, you know, when they do reveal themselves, in which case I've always believed that they will, and I think it's going to be within the next 2 years at least, or at most. You know, would that be an opportunity, like you said, for the government to come in and say, hey, this is the bad guys, you know, let's take a little bit more control? Like I said, I don't follow the Bible per se. I mean, I've read it, but like I said, I don't get totally apocalyptic like the world's going to end, but I do think that, you know, when these big motherships or whatever you want to call them come, you know, slowly going over the cities, I do think there's going to be a freak out point.
Well, let me make 2 points here. First of all, regarding apocalyptic and Planet X, if something comes through and we have a physical pole flip, it may not be the end of the world, but I guarantee it'll feel like it.
Absolutely.
And as far as the chip, if one caution, if Apple comes out with the chip that's being planted in us, don't buy the first version, because the next version of that chip is going to be better and half the price. I make a joke, but again, these are things that are sort of outside my immediate purview. I'm very much focused activist on getting certain policy changes, and I try to not get too much into super broad theorizing. But it's definitely fun to try to project and say, hey, what is going on here? And the reason that people are doing that, and rightfully so, is the government has denied this reality. And so we have to sort of try to come up with explanations in lieu of all of this information that we could have available to us in a post-disclosure world. And so, yeah, it's pretty wild and crazy. When disclosure comes, things are going to settle down, and that's good, because we really don't want to invest time in going up blind alleys, going up alleys of thinking and theories that have no end. And that's what happens when governments deny information. People go off and chasing rainbows and doing research in areas that are not going to go anywhere. Somebody's out there trying to invent some kind of a warp drive. The government may already have one. Well, gee, what a waste of time. So that's kind of my position on this. George, I've got a couple of announcements I could make tonight.
Please,
that would be
go
first
ahead.
For your audience. Is that doable?
Let's do it.
Absolutely. This first time, two of these are first time. And kind of important. Since the last time I've been on the show, one, PRG launched the Exopolitics World Network, housed at exopoliticsworld.net. This is intended to be a network of websites, one for each country around the world. We've got about 13 in play, and some of them are excellent sites that have the same URL protocol and site naming protocol. And each site is designed to track the developments within that country, cross-link to other countries and other things going on, and just create a presence. All right? And these sites are already turning up at the top of the search engines when you put in exopolitics in Yahoo and Google.
Good.
Well, in a couple of days, I'm going to send out a national press release announcing the launching of the United States Network, housed at exopoliticsunitedstates.net. And this will be a network of websites, one to a state and the District of Columbia, which will track exopolitics developments and stuff in that state, cross-link with other states and other sites and whatever else is going on, to create a network of 51 sites, similar protocol for the URL and for the name. And these will start turning up at the top of the search results, thus creating a very powerful sense of a national and international movement that is developing. We are looking for volunteer webmasters in various countries that would like to create a site for their country. And we're definitely looking, we have about three of the states covered, but we're looking for webmasters in the various states that would like to create a site for their state. So if you're interested, please contact PRG at paradigmresearchgroup.org. But the big announcement, which is not going to go out for about 10 days, is that PRG is going to launch in about 10 days Paradigm News Daily, which is going to be an actual news website. It's already got 20 very good contributors. I hope to have 40, 50 soon, which will be putting out news regarding UFO, ET, exopolitical issues, cover-up, government, weapons in space, peace, abuse of power, abuse of secrecy, these kinds of things. Not a full-out WorldNet Daily or American Chronicle, but a focused yet relatively broad.
Breaking stories, too?
Breaking stories, breaking news, commentary, lots of archive stuff. We'll have a list of contributors. And this is going to be a substantial site, and it's going to be developed with content software. In other words, so it can be updated heavily. And it's going to try to bridge the gap between – and there have been other efforts to create these kinds of things in the past, all good, but the timing is maybe better now – to bridge between these issues and the mainstream press, to promote the issues to the mainstream press more thoroughly, and to promote these writers to the mainstream press so they start getting picked up. And it's going to be a very big deal. And anyone who would like to be a contributor to the Paradigm News Daily – by all means, news or commentary or both, feel free again to contact PRG at paradigmresearchgroup.org. So those are my three announcements.
Very good. Let's go to our wild card line. Craig in British Columbia, you're on the air with us. Hey, Craig.
I'm going to turn this around for you for a second. This is me. Is that you, George?
Yep, it's me.
Sweet. Okay, I got a couple things for you.
Okay.
Number one, we've got about 5,000 wells that are capped, drilled, and they're not even tied into pipeline yet. Just waiting.
Just waiting.
Mm-hmm. Just waiting, buddy. And the other thing is I've been up here for 14 years, and there's all kinds of weird flying up in the sky here.
And let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Yo, George.
Hey, you're calling from Hawaii.
This is Gabriella.
Oh, yeah, you're the one with the chirping frogs in the background.
The cookie frog.
You got it. What's your question, Gabriella?
Actually, I was waiting in line for the sound off.
Oh, you are? Okay, well, you don't wait now. First time caller line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. Oh, it's so good to hear your voice. Over the phone, been trying to get you for about 5 years now, ever since I went to a 50-year class reunion. by the way, that Apple chip, that was a good one. I have trouble getting a tetanus shot. But anyway, the triangles. One of the guys that was in my class, we both worked for various federal agencies and have all kinds of clearances. And so when we had a chance to talk to ourselves, he was telling me about these triangles. And he is an oil rigger. I think that's what they call him in the North Sea, lives in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that those come out of a base that we have overseas, and it's in Scotland. We have apparently a really big base over there underground, and he said you wouldn't believe the stuff that comes out of there. And I've known for a long time that nothing is made visible to us unless it's totally obsolete. That was the rule when I worked for the government. So mm-hmm. I just wonder what else they have besides those things.
Sure, like to know.
I would.
Okay, thank you. Next up, let's go to William. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi, William.
Oh, hello. Hello, George Norrie. I'm sorry, I'm a little excited at the moment. I've been listening to you for more than 3 years now.
Thank you, sir.
Been trying to call in. I love the show. Okay, I've got several questions and a prediction. And the predictions may frighten me a little bit, but I'll get to the question first and then the prediction. The first question I've got to ask is, are these guys really benevolent? I mean, the experimentation, the kidnapping, men, women, and children in the dead of night, that doesn't sound like intelligent benevolence to me. It sounds like, I mean, it sounds evil. And I'm really wondering, are we pandering to a certain extent to a group of guys who are going to sweep in and take us over and do God knows what to us? The next question is, why aren't they coming out with this tech? Just go ahead and come out with it. My third question is, if they are not benevolent, are we going to be able to fight them? And my prediction is, and this is something that I've kind of felt over and over again, and keep hearing this word running over and over again in my head, the Chaos Bringer is coming. The Destroyer of Realms and Worlds is coming.
With respect to the first question, we sort of answered it earlier. No, you can't be certain, and I think we need to be cautious, circumspect, and pay attention. To answer to your prophecy, the nature of this transition is so profound, and the way that it's been screened from us and held from us, it's not surprising that people are developing a very powerful sense of ominous, and portension, and that's to be expected. I think once the disclosure takes place, I think that will cool down, and I think we'll settle in a little bit more. With respect to the tech, that's the $64,000 question. I have a pretty good idea what I think is going to happen next year. This is my not prophecy, but just my analysis, predictive analysis right now. And I'll lay it out very quickly. I think we have just enough time, George, if you don't mind.
You've got a minute.
The Democrats fully expect to win this election. And when they come in, I think I know what they plan to do. First of all, they're facing unbelievable problems economically. Well, in economically alone, we have huge problems. Every bit as big, if not greater, than what we were facing at the turn of the century, last century, the 1920s and 30s. And it's going to take something truly profound to avoid just going right into the toilet. And I think they have a plan.
They better have a good one, Steve.
And it's got two components. I invite your listeners to go to and Google Apollo Alliance. Apollo Alliance. There is a website. It hasn't been promoted much, but it's been out there for years. Apollo Alliance is essentially the now expression of what originally was called the New Apollo Project, which was hauled out in a big press conference at the National Press Club in 2004. When the Democrats again thought they were going to win the election, though it wasn't nearly as situation we have now. And they had big plans, and the New Apollo Project was that they were going to come in and create a high-tech version of the New Deal program under Roosevelt. They're going to put billions of dollars into high-tech development programs, high-speed, fast-track, to develop all kinds of exotic, new, environmentally friendly technologies that would be invented here, that would employ millions of high-end people, that bring up the mid-range jobs, which would free up the low jobs, pump huge amounts of money into the economy.
It's going to be an interesting take on all of this, Stephen. Stephen Bassett, xconference.com, paradigmresearchgroup.org.